From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For generations, the Italian descendants of an 18th century Venetian doctor have been dying of a strange and horrible disease. In middle age, the neck stiffens, the pupils narrow to the size of pinholes, and soon insomnia becomes persistent and maddening. The family that couldn't sleep, as author D.T. Max calls them in the title of his book, have been passing on this genetic disease that involves prions. In telling the story of the family that couldn't sleep, D.T. Max tells the story of prions, of diseases as seemingly disparate as scrapie, which broke out among European sheep, and kuru, which appeared among members of a highland tribe in New Guinea. He writes of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and of its far more common counterpart among cattle, BSE, more commonly known as mad cow disease. It's a story of scientists, neurologists, veterinarians, but ultimately it is about rogue proteins and a gene that has plagued that Italian family. D.T. Max, welcome to the program, and tell us about this family and their experience of the disease called fatal familial insomnia.
Fatal familial insomnia is exactly what it sounds like. It's a progressive, inherited neurological disease, which whose main symptom is a complete inability to sleep. First, you can only sleep lightly. Maybe you can catch a nap in the afternoon, but as time goes on, you lose the ability to sleep at all, and you accumulate an absolutely astonishing sleep debt. You are beyond tired. Most of us have had some experience with insomnia. Perhaps you're nervous about an appointment the next morning or a job interview. You stay up all night tossing and turning. Just multiply that by 1,000 and 1,000 again, because they, for 9 months until, I think, blessedly, the disease ends in death, or mercifully, simply cannot sleep.
This afflicts the Italian family, whose name you don't use in the book, and I gather perhaps a few dozen other families, but that's about it.
I know of two families in the United States who have the condition. The estimate that I've seen is about 20 families worldwide are known to have the condition, and if we knew the genomes of all the people on Earth, we'd probably get to around 80 families.
Members of the Italian family have been dying of FFI, that is fatal familial insomnia, for nearly 200 years now. And it's fascinating in your book to read of how the same symptoms, essentially, in different times, have been diagnosed differently and have been seen as different ailments before the disease was finally understood.
Doctors basically reach for what they know of. So, for instance, malaria was prevalent in the Veneto in the early 19th century, and as a result, the members of the family were said to have malaria. When von Economo syndrome swept Europe in 1918-1919, well, in that case, the family had von Economo syndrome. And as we move to the more recent era, they were often said to have delirium tremens.
Alcoholism. They constantly ask the people when they enter the hospital, is this person a heavy drinker?
They demanded it. They were practically insisting on it.
In the end, we learn that the disease is, in fact, it obviously is genetic and has been passed down through the generations of this family, but originally it all involves prions. What are prions?
Prions are proteins which, when misfolded, and all proteins fold, a protein is sort of born in the cell essentially like a straight piece of hair, and then it kind of crinkles up, and the way it crinkles determines, to some extent, its function. Well, most proteins have only one way they can crinkle. Prions, unfortunately, have two ways they can crinkle. One way is a perfectly normal, healthy way, and when the prion protein is normal and healthy, it fulfills some function in the cell that actually we don't know. But when the protein misfolds, it takes on, astonishingly enough, the properties of a virus. Now, this is strange for two reasons. One of the basic ideas of biology is that only living things can cause infection, viruses and bacteria primarily. And the second thing is that if, in fact, a protein can cause an infection, you have a very difficult epidemiological problem, which goes something like this. The first thing you want to do with an infection is to kill the infectious agent. But proteins aren't alive. So how are you going to kill something that isn't alive? It's extremely difficult, and it's one reason that prions have a tendency to well up into these extraordinary epidemics and epizootics.
The other diseases caused by prions that I mentioned a moment ago, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease or mad cow disease, or scrapie for that matter, these have been linked to people or animals ingesting meat and ingesting the prion. But this is different. In this particular illness, it's not that the individuals are always ingesting something new. Their genome has been altered by this event.
But it's essentially the same process. Prion diseases are unique in that they can occur by infection, mad cow disease. They can be inherited, as with this family that cannot sleep, and they can also just occur by chance. So, for instance, there are a handful of people at any one time in the world who have suddenly developed fatal insomnia. Prion diseases are the only diseases that can do this sort of three-part attack strategy.
When the insomnia strikes, pills, drugs, sleeping pills, they do nothing to help?
Actually, sleeping pills, all the things we have in our medicine chest worsen the condition. One of the oddities of this disease, because it's caused by prion, is that none of the conventional remedies for insomnia make any difference. In fact, what they do, and nobody I think quite understands why, is they unleash a series of enacted dreams and fantasies and hallucinations. In fact, the patient is grateful when the drug is discontinued or stopped.
You went to Italy to meet members of the family, one of whom is, I guess she's a nurse and her husband is an internist, and they've actually seriously elevated the family's own study of its own situation. How do they understand this? Do they know that the odds are half of them will die of FFI? How do they deal with this disease?
What's extraordinary about the family, to my mind, is that the family doesn't sit there waiting for the day when they begin to sweat or their pupils become tiny like pinpricks. The family is alive. The family lives, it loves, it marries. Some of them decide not to have children, but for the most part, they do what we all do. Now, one thing that I think is interesting about this disease is that it strikes quite late in life. It strikes in your late 50s, typically, and family members for generations, although never quite enunciating it this way, had to decide, well, should I bring a child into the world who will live six happy decades only to have this absolutely grievous end, or more accurately, a 50% chance, because this is a dominant mutation.
So half your kids would likely have this.
Half of your kids, exactly, a grievous end, or do I forego reproduction? Do I have the line end with me? And I think it's interesting and significant that for generation after generation, the family has decided to have children.
Given how few people in the world would suffer from this disease, what's the prospect for there ever being the kind of research investment that would be required to deal with it when, after all, it is a micro population of victims?
It's an orphan disease. And orphans are always in for a tough time in the medical world. On the plus side, from the family's point of view, is that mad cow disease loosed an enormous amount of European research money into prions and prion diseases. Now, it's true that that money was really mostly spent on trying to figure out how do you know whether a cow has mad cow disease, and secondarily, how do you cure the human form of mad cow disease, but by a kind of trickle sideways effect. The family members have been beneficiaries of a lot of this European research money.
Well, D.T. Max, Daniel Max, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. Max's book is called The Family That Couldn't Sleep, A Medical Mystery.